Well, good evening. I think I got this thing on right. If you would, if you have your Bible or you have your phone, you can turn to Luke, Gospel of Luke, Luke 1. Oh, it is on. There's speakers in here. Look at that. I wanted to thank y'all for giving me a chance to share tonight. It's always good being back where I have some roots, where we were reflecting on me and Powell, that it was, I lived here for 18 years, and a lot of people move around, and I have a lot of friends, and they move around, but they're always kind of weirded out that I lived in the same place for 18 solid years, so I count that as a blessing, and I'm glad to be back at Shan Hills, and the only downside is that when I go back home, when we get back to Dubuque, it's going to take me like 2 days to get any work done, because none of my coworkers are going to be able to understand what I'm saying, because my accent gets quite a bit thicker when I come back down here. Let's just pray before we read out of Luke. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth that comes out of it. Like Sonny shared, that hearing your word is a powerful thing, and that those that do not know you cannot help but feel something differently, that your word has power just by being spoken and heard and read from. So we do pray that as we read and listen to your word, that we would not do so lightly, and that we would let the truth of your word come out, that whatever is from me would just wash away in people's minds, and that your word and your truth would be left after this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So you can turn to Luke 1:46. It's just past Christmas, almost the new year, and we are going to focus on a Christmas song, which there's a lot of good ones, and I'm not going to sing any, so don't worry. But we're going to focus on a Christmas song that comes from Mary. I wanted to share this portion of Scripture because it's a very interesting portion. It's Mary's reaction after she visits Elizabeth. So it's not exactly a Christmas song, because I guess Jesus hasn't been born yet, and you know, that's when December 25th, that's when Jesus is born. But it's her outward expression of her feelings after realizing that everything that the angel told her is true, that she is definitely pregnant, that she is definitely going to give birth, and it's a big deal. And so she says this, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, and he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her, Elizabeth, about 3 months and returned to her home. So kind of an unexpected song to sing in this context. It's not like, it doesn't really make sense to me. Like, it's not something that I would have probably whipped out into song if I had found out that we were pregnant, or if I imagine if Pal found out she was pregnant. I don't think this is the first thing she would have sang, because it focuses a lot on the power of the Lord. It focuses a lot on what the Lord is doing, but it mentions a lot about Israel. It mentions a lot about nations, about proud and humble and haughty people. So I want to give us some context for maybe Mary's frame of mind for singing this. Mary was approximately somewhere in 14 to 18 year range. We don't know how old she was. It's not known really too much that particular era of Jewish culture, but that seems to be the age when she might have been betrothed, when she might have been engaged to be married. So roughly in that teenage time frame, she comes from a different society than we come from in the Western society. Those that might be more familiar with an Eastern or a Middle Eastern society would know that honor and shame play a lot more role in a Middle Eastern or an Eastern mindset. We come from a guilt-based mindset where law and justice is way more important than honor and shame. So if you're going to motivate someone, you would motivate them by saying, what you're doing is wrong, like you're breaking the law. But with Mary, it's possible that more it would be, what you're doing is shameful, and the society, the culture around you is going to frown upon this. You're going to bring shame upon your family by doing whatever you're doing. She probably did not have much formal schooling. We don't know how old kids went to listen to teaching at the synagogue as a child, but at some point they, usually around bar mitzvah age now, they would go to do family trade. They would go on to do something, if they're going to be a rabbi, if they're a boy, they would start that training then. But especially for a woman, she would probably return home and be helping at home. But she probably did go to the synagogue maybe multiple times a week and hear scripture read, so she would be familiar with Old Testament passages. They did not have a Bible or even the Torah, the Old Testament in front of them. If they were lucky, maybe the priest would have let them touch it, but probably not. So she's probably never touched the actual scriptures. She's just heard it read. And she probably doesn't come from a super wealthy background. She would just be familiar with the scriptures from a very cultural perspective of things that we usually associate with Jewish culture. A lot about David, the prophets would have been very important to her. So let's walk through. We're not going to read, but we'll walk through just a little bit of what happens before this song. So if you back up to kind of 26 through 33, an angel appears to Mary, and he has great news. Kind of, you're going to get pregnant. And he's going to be the Messiah, the Savior that Israel has been waiting for. And she's kind of happy, but also very troubled, it says, because she says she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what his greeting was when he first showed up. And he gives her all this information, and she's a little overwhelmed. And, of course, she says, that's great and all, but I'm a virgin, so how is this going to work? How is this in the world? Is this possible? And unlike actually in the story beforehand where Zechariah says kind of the same thing, my wife is too old to have a kid. How am I going to have a kid? And an angel basically silences him. She doesn't have a precedent for this. Abraham had a child when his wife was too old. So Zechariah had a reason to not doubt an angel that would have appeared to him. But Mary didn't have a precedent for a virgin giving birth. So the angel very kindly and patiently explains exactly what's going to happen. He says, you've been chosen, and the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and he is going to bring about this child in you that is going to be a grand fulfillment of a promise. He's going to have an everlasting kingdom through the line of David. It's a story we're very familiar with that continues on into Luke 2. And he also tells her something interesting at the very end. He tells her that her cousin, Elizabeth, her relative at least, in her old age has conceived a son, which is Zechariah's wife from the previous story, and that nothing is impossible with God. And so we don't know when, we don't know how long maybe Mary waited, but it says with haste, she basically travels to see Elizabeth, her relative, and confirms that this is true. Elizabeth is pregnant. She's about 3 months pregnant, or 6 months pregnant at this point. And she bursts into song after Elizabeth greets her and basically says that her child has leapt for joy at hearing Mary's voice. So I don't know if Mary went because she wanted confirmation. Because this is, I mean, an angel appears, and I'm sure she believed it because she was very humble, and she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. But I don't know, maybe she ran to Elizabeth for comfort because she knew that if Elizabeth had something miraculous happen, she would understand what Mary's going through, that this is not a normal situation and she can't just turn to anybody on the street and say, I'm going to get pregnant because God said so. But that she would have this promise to look to see, like, did I dream this? No, I didn't dream this. Elizabeth truly is pregnant, so I'm going to be pregnant as well. And so she sings this song and then stays with her relative for another 3 months, after which, when she would be leaving, she would definitely have been showing. Because even if she left around 3-4 months, you know, I've never been pregnant, but, that's usually when women are showing. And so she was going to go home very clearly that she's going to have a baby. And she's not married and had left her fiancé in another town to visit a relative and comes back pregnant in a very dishonorable and a very shameful situation with a lot of questions, I'm sure, from family and relatives. I don't know if she told her family beforehand. We don't know those details. It's left out of the text. But regardless, this is a shameful situation because as those that are familiar and those that might not be, I'll let you know that Joseph, her fiancé, basically decides he's an honorable man, and he says, even though she's gotten pregnant, I'm going to quietly put this matter away so that she does not possibly be killed according to Jewish law if she's done something that dishonorable by going out of wedlock or going out of a promise. But he's going to quietly put it away and for her sake not make this a big deal. And an angel tells him, no, it's okay. She is telling the truth. So she goes from visited and troubled to questioning and being answered, to humble and being submissive, to rejoicing and singing this song. And in this song, she says a lot of things. She exclaims joy that her soul magnifies the Lord. In the first couple parts of it, she says that it's an honor that he chose her for this service to Israel, that he saw her as a humble servant, that he is a mighty, powerful God, and that he is a holy God. His name is holy. That he is a ruler who governs and puts down the proud and exalts the humble. And that he remembers his promises. He helps his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy that he promised all the way from Abraham, that she would be remembering the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And so this song actually mirrors a lot of Old Testament text. And this song mirrors Hannah's song in 1 Samuel 2, if you ever go read that, at her being able to have a child as well, which is very interesting. But it's an interesting thing is that this song is not just a song that she made up. It's a lot of Old Testament scripture that's actually taken from Psalms, some from Isaiah, some from different books. And that is what she would have been familiar with. She didn't have the Black Book that we are privileged to have and sing from. She didn't have Spotify or Amazon Prime or anything that she could access to listen to music while she is doing her chores. She would have gone to the synagogue and they would have had a choir master that would have sang psalms or different parts of scripture. So we don't know if this was a medley that someone had compiled to put together in praise to the Lord, or if it's just what came to mind. She just put together different verses from, if you grab the Black Hymnal and you just out of joy just remembered different parts from different songs that you love, if that's what happened, or if it was just the Spirit on her heart, just leading this particular praise to come out. But regardless, it was one that directed all the glory to the Lord. Even in the middle of a really scary and shameful situation, she didn't pray for strength. She didn't pray for power or peace to come out of this for herself. She did thank the Lord for herself. But she didn't necessarily grab and say, Lord, this is going to get really hard really quick. I've got a couple-day journey, and I'm going to see my fiancé, and I don't know what he's going to say. Just help me to get through this and get to the other side. But she basically says, thank you, Lord, for using me, and your name be glorified. you're fulfilling a promise that you made to Abraham, and Israel is going to be blessed. So she looks at the bigger picture of Jesus coming. She sees that her future son is going to be this magnificent person that the angel promised. This answer to prophecy and to what the Jews have been looking for years. And so she looks at this as a joyous time and a time to really glorify the Lord. And that's really what Christmas is about. That's really what, when we think of Christ's birth, it's a time to glorify the Lord. We're about to go into a new year, and so I don't know if y'all make New Year's resolutions, but as you go in, remembering back and going forward, maybe that's something we can all remember, is that looking back on these past circumstances, this past year, looking back on this past Christmas and thinking all the things that brought glory to the Lord in our lives, whether or not we acted in a honorable or a shameful way, what the Lord has given us opportunity to glorify Him with. Because Mary didn't ask. She wasn't praying for a child. She wasn't saying, Lord, when I get married, Lord, just get, you know, help me to be fruitful and multiply like it's promised. You know, we need to have a big family. No, she wasn't asking for a child. It was a surprise. It was completely unaware. And it brought with it joy. It brought with it suffering. It brought with it anxiety and fear. It brought with it a lot of doubt and a lot of worry and physical pain. Again, from what I've heard, childbirth is not fun. And it brought with it a lot of questions, a lot of things that she had no idea where it was going to go. But she chose to glorify the Lord. And that really is an honorable response in a dishonorable or shameful scenario that she's coming into. So as we go into the new year, and as we go into Christmas time again and again for as long as the Lord has us on this earth, wherever we are, whether we're in Iraq for the first time celebrating Christmas publicly, remembering the honor of Mary, the honorable response and reaction to a surprise, to the Lord's will. She submitted to the Lord's will and she said that I am your servant. To suffering, to joy and blessing. A child is a blessed thing no matter how it comes about. It's a joyful thing to hold a little vulnerable infant who has no way to take care of themselves. And you get to be the caretaker for them in some way, shape, or form. Maybe showing honor in answers that we didn't want to prayer. Even though Mary wasn't looking for it, she still chose to react to this in an honorable way, that we can do the same when we do ask for prayer. And the Lord answers in a way that we were hoping was going to go differently. But most of all, that as we go about, wherever we end up, like what was prayed, that in various parts of the world, right here in Shan Hills, right here in Greensboro, or in Dubuque, or in Cameroon, that we would react with honor. We would react with glorifying the Lord. We would react in a humble way when the Lord directs our lives in a daily fashion. When He takes it for a big left turn that we weren't expecting. When He takes it in a direction that we were hoping was going to go in a different way. So that was just what I wanted to share this evening, was the story of Mary, the honor of Mary. And as we go into the new year and reflect back on our old one, may we remember that the Lord works in very mysterious ways, but He always keeps His promises, and He will always be dependable no matter what situation is bothering you, is bringing you grief, or bringing you joy. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your promises that are throughout the entire Bible. We love the New Testament for the joy of Christ that it brings, but we love the Old Testament for the strength of the promises and the steadfastness that it shows of a patient, loving God who did not give up on His people no matter what. And we know that we are We are your sons and daughters, and we can depend on you to lead us and guide us in a fashion that is for your glory. It might not be a comfortable one. It might not be a safe one. It might not be one that is expected, but it will be for your glory if we are obedient and humble and willing to do your will. So Lord, we thank you for the examples that we have of a humble man named Joseph who took a dishonorable situation and reacted in an honorable way of having a betrothed wife who was pregnant. And we thank you for the humble example and the honorable example of Mary being willing to go into a situation that was going to cause her much shame and much whispering and much loss in her life. And we thank you for Jesus and the incredible life that he lived in another shameful situation of being ridiculed for not having a father and being ridiculed for coming out of this shameful situation, but living a life that so exemplified and showed how to live a life for God, because he was God and man. So we thank you for our Savior, and we thank you for Mary and Joseph and the examples they set, and for you, or for your mercy and your grace and your love that you show us each and every day. Guide us as we go into a new year. Thank you for the opportunities we've had in this past year, and just keep in mind, in our minds, how we can bring you honor and bring you glory in every day that we live. In Jesus' name I pray.